What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This is Tailgate Till May, part of the Believe Podcast Network. If you love college sports and you like to have a little action on the games, then this is the place for you, because I'm your host, Stephen Gorgie, and I love both of those things too. You can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, all at the same handle, at Gorg on Sports. Definitely hit me up there, because I'd love to hear from you. I'd love for you to be a part of the show. Let's get right into it, because we have a monster Saturday of college basketball ahead. We have three top 10 matchups, and it works out really, really well because this is the first weekend in a long time without college football or the NFL. So really good job. I often complain about the lack of centralization in college sports, the lack of leadership, the lack of somebody who just has the best interest of the sport in their heart, in their minds at all times, and who's dedicated to doing things to help the sport. Well, whether college basketball was just lucky or the conferences did a really good job of planning, hey, we want these big time matchups on these days, maybe in conjunction with the TV networks. Either way, it's worked out great because there are three top 10 matchups on Saturday. They are big ones. They are fun ones. I can't wait to dive into this thing. Want to give a quick record update here. So on the season, I am 24 and 23 on my college basketball bets. I am down just about, just almost a full unit, three quarters of a unit. I'm down on the year, looking to get back on the right side of the ledger here. So let's dive right in to this monster slate. And I really want to focus on those three big time games on Saturday. I actually think there's a fourth in there. It's not a top 10 matchup, but it is a top 25 matchup. So I'll get into that one too. And then I'll talk about some of the other games that I am betting on this fine college basketball Saturday. And let's go in chronological order. Let's start at 4 p.m. on Saturday. Our first top 10 battle takes place in the Big 12, and it's number 4 Houston going to Fog Allen Fieldhouse to take on the number 8 Kansas Jayhawks. The Jayhawks, a 1.5-point home dog in this game. You can get Kansas getting 1.5. And this is a big game with big stakes in the Big 12. This is the best league in the country. There's been some debate about that over the course of this past week. I firmly believe that the Big 12 is the best conference in college basketball. And it's a jumbled mess when you look at the standings. Houston is in first place by a half game. They're 6-2, just ahead of Iowa State and Texas Tech, who are 5-2. Kansas sits at 5-3. And I believe this is a must-win game for Kansas if Kansas wants to win the Big 12. They have played the easier part of their schedule relatively in the first half of the schedule, and they've lost some of those games that you would consider easier games. They lost at UCF. They lost at West Virginia. Those are two games you cannot lose if you want to win the Big 12. They've also played Oklahoma State twice. Oklahoma State is clearly the worst team in the Big 12 right now. They're 14 of 14. Kansas has played them twice already. That's two of Kansas's 5 wins. So you look at the last 11 games in conference play. They have to play Houston twice. They got a home and home with Houston. They got a home and home with Baylor. So 4 of their 11 games are against Houston and Baylor. That's a pretty tough start right there. They also have to go on the road to Texas Tech, on the road to Oklahoma. They have Texas at home. They have BYU at home. It's a tough schedule, and that's why I believe this is a must-win game for Kansas if they want to win this league. You can't fall behind Houston by a full two games at this point in the season. That would put Houston at 7-2. It would put Kansas at 5-4. And it's a must win for Kansas, in my opinion. You got to hold serve at home because you got to expect that Houston will hold serve when you go there. So I think this is a huge one for Kansas. What does Houston do well? Why is Houston number 4 in the country? Why are they number 1 in the net rankings? Why are they projected to be a number 1 seed everywhere right now? Well, it's all about defense for the Cougars. According to KenPom, they are the best defense, or they have the best adjusted defensive efficiency since that Texas Tech team that lost to Virginia in the 2019 national title game. So this is the best defensive team we've seen over the past 5 years, if you believe the KenPom numbers. And honestly, if you watch them, you should, because this team does everything well. They are aggressive in attacking ball screens, they force a ton of turnovers, they block shots, and they rebound well. They have it all when it comes to the defensive side of things. They're led by their point guard, Jamal Shedd, who's a great passer. He's a pretty efficient scorer. He's an excellent defender. It also just seems like he consistently comes up with big shots, makes big plays at the right times. Head coach Kelvin Sampson also is constantly praising his work ethic and leadership. He is the guy that makes that team go. I really like this Houston team. I think they're a legit Final Four contender. I love the way that Kelvin Sampson has built this program because you always know what to expect from them. They have a calling card. They have a signature, and it's their defense. My big question, and this has really been the question with Houston for the last several years, is what happens if they have to make shots, if they have to score a ton? Maybe their opponent gets hot from deep, and that happens no matter how good your defense is. Sometimes you run into a hot team, a hot shooter. What happens if they can't force turnovers and they're playing a team that takes really good care of the basketball and is able to score and they have to respond? Sometimes it seems like with their offense, the whole plan is just to throw something up and then go get an offensive rebound. And you know what? They have really good offensive rebounders. It works a lot of the time. But that's the big question with them. And I thought this year would be a little bit different for Houston because of the addition of LJ Cryer from Baylor. Cryer, a big-time shooter, a big-time scorer, and he is shooting close to 40% on the year, 37.8% from beyond the arc this year. He's already taken 164 threes this season. Kelvin Sampson has raved about the way that he's bought in on the defensive end, but the offense just hasn't quite been there in conference play for Cryer. There was a couple games, their two losses to TCU and Iowa State, two close games that they could have won. They could be sitting at undefeated in Big 12 play right now. He only scored 5 points in each of those games. And I feel like LJ Cryer is a difference maker. I feel like LJ Cryer is somebody they can give the ball to in the half court, who can make big shots, who can make big plays. But that is still the big question with Houston. That's the question they're going to have to answer repeatedly over the course of the NCAA tournament. I think this is a team that is clearly the favorite to win the Big 12. I bet them to win the Big 12. They're the betting favorite right now. They're the odds-on favorite to win the Big 12 at this moment, minus 170 on FanDuel right now, far and away ahead of everybody else. Iowa State plus 600, Kansas plus 750. But when you're talking about national championship caliber teams, you're going to start picking nits. And that's the nit you got to pick with Houston, is if they have to score, if somebody gets hot on them, can they match it? And we're really not going to know that answer till tournament time. I tend to think they will, and I think LJ Cryer will be the difference. I think having a guy like Jamal Shedd, who has been through it all, who is now in his fourth year at Houston, you know, he's been to a Final Four with the Cougars. He's made deep tournament runs. He knows what it takes to win, and he's playing really well this season. He's playing really well offensively. He's had an efficient season. He's been a really high usage guy. He's also a really, really good passer. So I tend to think they have one extra gear this year offensively that can get them over the hump, but they're gonna have to prove it in March. And then from a Kansas perspective, Kansas has been a very good team this year. I mean, they're sitting at 17-4. They've beaten UConn in the non-conference at home. They beat Tennessee in Maui. They beat Kentucky in the Champions Classic. They have had a good season so far, but they've also lost games on the road at UCF. They've lost at West Virginia. They haven't been the most consistent team. They lost at Iowa State last weekend. I think Iowa State's clearly on a different level than those two teams. And the thing with Kansas is all year long, it's been very clear. 1-4, they can match anybody. Hunter Dickinson, in contention for Big 12 Player of the Year, potential All-American. I mean, the guy seemingly puts up 20-10 every single night without fail. He has been exactly what they wanted when they got him from Michigan. 1-4, they can go toe-to-toe with anybody. It's been finding that fifth scoring option. It's been building depth, and they haven't quite found it yet. And now they're also dealing with an injury to Kevin McCullough, their all Big 12 guard. And McCullough dealing with a bit of a bone bruise. He was out earlier in the week versus Oklahoma State. His status for Saturday against Houston is unsure. And they're trying to figure out what their depth looks like, who can step up. And now I will say, they've seen some guys step up a little bit recently. Johnny Furphy, who's moved into the starting lineup. He's played well since moving into the starting lineup in his last four games, 11 points, 15, 23, 13. So he's starting to step up a little bit. He's a guy who can shoot it from beyond the arc. Maybe he's someone who develops for them. They have a very talented freshman in Marco Jackson, who was in the starting lineup for a lot of the season. And he just was not seemingly able to find a ton of consistency on the offensive end, but he had a nice game against Oklahoma State earlier this week, putting up 10 points, said that it was the most comfortable he's felt. So, you know, there's still 6 weeks to go in the regular season. There's still time to develop, but it's got to come sooner than later for Kansas. That's the big question for them. Kansas is a very good passing team. If there was one thing I would say about them that they do best, it's they're a great passing team. They have a great point guard in DeJuan Harris. And Hunter Dickinson is actually a pretty good, he's a pretty decent passing big as well. I don't really think of him as a guy that's like a black hole who once that ball goes in, it's never coming out. So I think they're a very good passing team. I think that's what they do well. And I think that will be the interesting matchup to watch in this game. Is how does Kansas handle that blitzing Houston defense, especially when they're with their ball screen coverage, where they don't drop back, they don't play drop coverage, they don't hedge, they go right at you, they blitz you, they're aggressive, they try to force turnovers. And a team that passes the ball well, like Kansas, might be able to have some success against that. That's a really interesting matchup that I'm watching in this one. The way I'm going to ultimately bet this one is I am going to take Kansas. I think Houston is the better team. Houston has an elite defense. I don't see anything that is elite about Kansas. I think Kansas might be the more well-rounded team. I don't know that Kansas is elite at anything, except maybe passing. They are a great passing team, like I said. But man, oh man, you got to be really, really confident to lay a 1.5 on the road in the fog in February in a Big 12 game. And I think Houston is the better team. I think Houston has the higher ceiling. I think Houston will win the Big 12. I think Houston will be a number one seed. And I think they are a legitimate Final Four national championship contender. But I like that Kansas passing ability. I think, you know, it's interesting when you look at who the best player in the court is, it's either Hunter Dickinson or Jamal Shedd. I think Jamal Shedd versus DeJuan Harris is a very interesting matchup. But Hunter Dickinson is a guy who does make big-time plays in big time games. At the end of the day, I'm going to rely on that home court advantage there. I'm going to rely on Kansas's pedigree. Just because I think they can win this game does not mean I think they're the overall better team. I think it just means that home court advantage is that important in the Big 12. It's that important in college basketball. And sometimes it's that important that you have a big time coach like Bill Self, who has been in these situations time and time again. Kelvin Sampson has as well, but sometimes that home court advantage is just the difference. So I think Kansas is close enough to Houston that I'm taking the Jayhawks with the point. It's at home. Give me Kansas plus 1.5 in this one. Let's move on to 6:30 Eastern time. It is the best rivalry in college basketball. It is one of the best rivalries in all of college sports. It's number 7 Duke going to Chapel Hill to take on the number 3 North Carolina Tar Heels. North Carolina, a 4.5-point favorite in this game. And North Carolina was one of the hottest teams in the country. They had won 9 in a row before falling to Georgia Tech earlier this week. And Brian Ives, who's a great follow on Twitter if you're a college sports fan, he's a Carolina guy, tweets a lot of Carolina stuff, a lot of ACC stuff. He tweeted that North Carolina is 10-20 in its last 30 combined football and men's basketball games at Georgia Tech. Midtown Atlanta has certainly not been kind to the Tar Heels. What a weird, funky stat there for Carolina. So Carolina falls to what appears to be the foe that they just can't get past in both football and men's basketball, Georgia Tech. They snap their 9-game winning streak, and they get a little bit of a reality check heading into this big-time rivalry game. Brian Ives also tweets that Saturday will be the 49th time Duke and Carolina have met when both are ranked in the AP top 10. Now, of course, they've split the previous 48, just classic for this rivalry, and North Carolina has averaged 76.8 points per game to Duke's 76 points per game. That's how close this rivalry has been over the years. Now, an interesting little tidbit that I dug up as I was looking at this game is that Hubert Davis famously ruined Coach K's celebration night at Cameron Indoor Stadium, his last regular season game. He ruined that with a North Carolina victory. He ended Coach K's career in the Final Four and perhaps the biggest Duke Carolina game ever. Not perhaps, I think it was the biggest Duke Carolina game ever because it took place in the Final Four and it ended Coach K's career. So he is 2-1 against Coach K, but 0-2 against John Shire. That's a fun little fact for you there. Shire, 2-0, has not lost to North Carolina yet in his career as Duke head coach. So that's kind of the setup leading into this one. Now, there's been a lot of talk about how hot North Carolina was heading into this game, but Duke arguably has been just as hot. Since December 9th, they've lost just one game. Duke, sitting at 16-4 on the season, is 11-1 since losing to that same Georgia Tech team on December 2nd. So Georgia Tech, despite being under 500 on the year at 10-11, has beaten both Duke and North Carolina, the clear-cut top two teams in the ACC. But Duke has been really, really good. After losing that Georgia Tech game, they were sitting at 5-3 on the year. Since then, they've gone 11-1 with their lone loss coming at home to Pitt a couple weeks ago. And Duke's beaten Baylor on a neutral court over that time. They beat Clemson at home last Saturday, who I think Clemson is the third best team in the ACC right now, but a clear step below Duke and Carolina. Duke has been really, really good. They're led by their big man, Kyle Filipowski. He's been a big time player for them. And they've gotten some really good contributions from a freshman, Jared McClain. He's shooting over 40% from three on the year, and he's already taken over 100 threes on the season. He's a guy who can really get hot from deep. I don't know how to bet this one. I'm going to just stay away from it. Carolina's a 4.5-point favorite in this one. These games tend to be close, and if it was like Carolina minus 7, I think I would jump on Duke here. I'll never know. We'll never know what it would have been if Carolina had beaten Georgia Tech, but I do wonder if it would have been a couple points higher. It opened at -5.5. I saw it in real time, dropped to 4.5. I wonder if it would have opened like at 6.5 if Carolina had won that Georgia Tech game. It's going to be an interesting one to watch. These are the clear-cut two best teams in the conference. So you look at the ACC standings, Carolina's 9-1, Duke 7-2. It would be huge for Duke if they want to stay in this ACC race. And if they lose, they're not out of it, but it would be huge for them to even things up in the loss column. I do think it's an important game for both teams because there just aren't that many opportunities in the ACC for resume building wins. If you look at these two teams that I think both have a chance to get a number one seed, I think whoever wins the ACC will have a good chance to get a number one seed. Carolina, number 9 in the net. Duke, number 17 in the net. Carolina, 4-2 in quad one games. Duke, 4-1 in quad one games. But the opportunities are few and far between to pick up a ton more quad one wins. You look at the other top teams in the ACC. Well, there are no other ACC teams in the top 30. So that means any home game Duke or North Carolina play against anybody but each other is going to be a quad two or quad three game. Then you look at how many other teams are in the top 75, and there's a few. There's a few there. You have Clemson in the 30s. You have Virginia, Virginia Tech, and Wake Forest at 45, 49, and 50, respectively. You have Pitt at 63, Miami at 67. So if you win road games, you can get some quad one wins, but home games are all going to be quad two or worse. And so it's really important for these two teams to build their resumes against one another. They can't lose many games the rest of the year. And I think if one of these two teams can sweep the series, that will be a huge boon for them in trying to grab a number one seed. Right now, North Carolina certainly seems closer if you look at the bracketology than Duke does. Carolina, on average, if you look at bracketmatrix.com, a great resource, great website, is a 1.08 seed. So they are a number one seed in most brackets, a number two seed in some. They are right there on that 1-2 line. Duke is looking like a 3-4 right now. They have an average of 4.04, so solidly a 4 seed. I don't know how to bet this game. I'm not going to bet it. My gut was to take Duke ahead of that Georgia Tech game. I was hoping it would be a little bit higher. This series is always pretty close. I really like Filipowski, but I mean, look, how can you not like RJ Davis for North Carolina? He's been a guy that's been absolutely on fire for the Tar Heels. I'm going to just stay away from this one and try to sit back and enjoy it. Let's go to 8 o'clock, and this is not a game that a lot of people are including in their, you know, big games of the day because we have the three top 10 matchups. I think this one is basically a top 10 matchup. It's number 12, Iowa State, at number 18, Baylor. Baylor, a 2.5-point home favorite in this one. And look, Iowa State has been very, very impressive over the past couple of weeks. They are coming off a monster win at home against Kansas last weekend. Then they had a kind of bye week with no midweek game. So a full week between playing Kansas at home and going to Baylor on Saturday. Iowa State is a fantastic home team, a great home team, undefeated at home, and they have one of the best home court advantages in all of college basketball. They also have one of the best defenses in all of college basketball. They are very, very good on the defensive end, and the questions, if there are questions about Iowa State, are on the offensive end. But I think, like Houston, I think they've added pieces this year that make them much better than they were a year ago. Taman Lipsey, their point guard, one of the most improved players in the Big 12. in my opinion. They add a freshman, Milan Momchilovic, who just makes big shot after big shot. He can do it all. He can go inside, he can go outside, over a 40% three-point shooter. He hits these wild fadeaways. And then they've had a guy, Curtis Jones, really step up, a transfer from Buffalo. He goes 3 of 8 from beyond the arc against Kansas for 15 points. The game before that, 3 of 8 from beyond the arc, puts up 18 against Kansas State. And then the one game before that against TCU, and these are all three Iowa State wins, he hits 2 3-pointers, puts up 17 points. So they are getting some offensive contributions. They are sitting at 5-2 in the conference. They are very much in this Big 12 title race. And Baylor, they just snapped the 3-game losing streak by beating UCF. They're 4-3 in the league. And I think it's a little bit of a time to buy low on Baylor. Scott Drew said it after the UCF game. They are a couple possessions from being a top 3 team. They lose to Kansas State in overtime on the road. They lose to Texas by 2 on the road. And they lose a triple overtime game against TCU at home. Don't let those 3 losses fool you. This Baylor team is very, very good. They have 2 outstanding freshmen in Eve Misi, their big man, and Jacoby Walter, a super athletic wing. They are a scoring machine. This is a great offense. It's a team that can really light it up from deep. I think they're really close to being a top 5, top 10 team. And that's why I'm going to take Baylor at home in this one, laying the 2.5 points. I also saw a tweet earlier today from Evan Maya. I'm going to see if I can find it here quickly, about the biggest home court advantages in college basketball. So teams that essentially overperform at home compared to how they perform on the road, or the biggest discrepancies between home, how a team plays at home, and how a team plays on the road. And Iowa State is number 4 on this list of best home court advantages. And it's reflected in the fact that they're undefeated at home, but their losses have come away from Hilton Coliseum. Early in the year, a couple neutral court losses to teams that are very much middle of the pack right now in their leagues, Virginia Tech and Texas A&M. They've also lost to Oklahoma on the road, and then BYU absolutely lit them up from beyond the arc when they played at the Marriott Center. I think Baylor can do something similar with the way they shoot the 3, so give me Baylor -2.5 in this one, but I expect this to be a tight one throughout, and I think Baylor has just enough to get over the hump. It's a buy low spot for me on the Baylor Bears. And let's finish up our big-time matchups at 8:30 Eastern time in the SEC. Number 5 Tennessee goes to Rupp Arena. They're going to take on number 10 Kentucky. Kentucky, a 1.5-point dog in this one. And just tell me, how many times over the course of college basketball history do you think both Kansas and Kentucky have been home dogs on the same day? I bet it hasn't happened very often, and we're going to see it on Saturday. And just out of principle, I have to bet on both those teams. So give me Kentucky at home +1.5 against the Vols. When it comes to Tennessee, it's all about Dalton Knecht for them. The guy is absolutely unreal. You've probably heard the story of him. He's a transfer from Northern Colorado, kind of came out of nowhere, and he is absolutely on fire this season. One of the best offensive players in the country. Over their last 6 games, he is averaging nearly 32 points per game. He's at 31.8. points per game over the last 4 weeks, or their last 6 games. They maybe have to rely on him a little too much, though. Against South Carolina, their loss to South Carolina earlier this week, he scored 31 of the 59 points. And I worry about what happens if he can't score, or is he enough by himself to keep up with some of these teams. Now, Tennessee does have a very good defense, just like they did last year, but Kentucky is a very impressive offensive team. I think at home, Kentucky is able to score. They're a very good three-point shooting team, and I don't think Dalton Knecht alone is enough to get the Vols over the hump. So give me the Cats as the home dog in this one. All right, I want to wrap things up with a few other games that I'm going to be betting here. And let's start at 5 p.m. Utah is a 2.5-point home favorite against Colorado. Now, I mentioned that Evan Maya list earlier of best home court advantages in the country this season. Utah, number one on that list. They are 5-5 in the Pac-12. They have 5 home wins. They have 5 road losses. Colorado also on that list at number 12, which means they don't play nearly as well away from Boulder as they do in Boulder. So give me Utah minus 2.5 in this one. The Pac-12 as a whole has also been a very home court dominated league. Pac-12 teams are 42-18 at home in conference play this year. That's a 700 winning percentage, the best in all of Power 6 basketball. Now, the Big 10 and the Big 12 are also very close to that number, but when you compare it to a league like the ACC, it's really mind-blowing. The ACC is just 41-32, or home teams, I should say, are just 41-32, 56% winning percentage there. So I like Utah here, and from a basketball perspective, Utah is led by their fifth-year 7-footer Brandon Carlson. He's really good inside. He's a nearly 17-point-per-game guy, also averages 6.5 boards, but around him, you also have a couple 40% three-point shooters that he can get the ball to that they can utilize. I like Utah coming off a couple losses here. I like the home court advantage, and I think Colorado will suffer from being away from home. Give me Utah minus 2.5. At 5:30, I'm going to take my very own Maryland Terrapins plus 7.5 at Michigan State. Now, over Maryland's last 6 games, they are 4-2, and it's playing its best basketball of the year. Maryland got off to a very rough start this year, but has been playing much better ball. Over the last 4 weeks, starting with January 8th, Maryland has the 5th best defensive efficiency in all of college basketball, per BartTorvik.com. Maryland is a very good defensive team, and they have a great point guard in Jameer Young, who's on an absolute heater. He's averaging 21.5 points over those last 6 games. Now, Bart Torvik has this line as a 9.5-point spread when you just take into account the full year data, but when you filter it, when you filter out some of that early season poor play from the Terps, if you just take the results over the last month for both of these two teams, the line drops to 1.5. So at 7.5 points, I like the Terps here. I think Maryland has been playing very well. They have this bye week. They haven't played since beating Nebraska last Saturday, so they should be well-rested, refreshed, focused, and ready to go for this trip to East Lansing. Last year, Maryland was not a very good road team, but things have changed for the Terps this year. They've actually put up some very nice performances on the road this year. Even in games they lost, a game against a very good Northwestern team, a very competent Northwestern team, they played them close. They lost by 3 a couple weeks ago. They've picked up wins at Iowa. They've gotten a win at Illinois. This is a very different road team than it was a year ago. I like Maryland in this one. Give me the Terps plus 7.5. And then one more that I'm looking at, and I got to see if it's posted yet, because it still wasn't posted when I looked when these lines were dropping. And no, it still doesn't look like it's posted. But a game I'm keeping my eye out for, the line I'm watching for, is BYU at West Virginia. Now, KenPom has this as an 11-point spread. BYU is an 11-point road favorite in Morgantown, but I'm going to take West Virginia if I can get them at, say, let's say 9.5 or more. I'm going to take West Virginia in this game. So I got my eyes out to see what that line is going to be. West Virginia finally has its full complement of players they expected to have. Now, they had some NCAA things going on with Kirk Carissa and Raekwon Battle. They finally got those guys back. And then Jesse Edwards, their big man, gets hurt, the Syracuse transfer. He comes back, and in his second game back against Cincinnati earlier this week, he has an absolutely monster performance. He drops 25 on them, puts up 10 boards, and the Mountaineers get a 69-65 win in a game against Cincinnati. Cincinnati, a team fighting for its NCAA tournament life. West Virginia in this game, down 10 late. They make a huge charge. They end the game on a 19-5 run. So over the last 6.5 minutes or so of that game, they go on a 19-5 run and get the win. I think the metrics wildly underrate West Virginia, because the personnel just hasn't been there all year. And this is a team that, even without Jesse Edwards, was able to get a win against Kansas earlier this year. It's a team that's really hung in there with some difficult circumstances. And now that they have everybody they expected to have, I think they can do some more damage over the last 10 games in Big 12 play. It's a very difficult, long trip from Provo, Utah to Morgantown, West Virginia. I like all those factors in West Virginia's favor. Give me the Mountaineers if I can get it at 9.5 or more in this one. It should be a fantastic weekend of college basketball. I can't wait to watch it all and talk about it with you. That's our show for today. Until next time, keep the grill hot and the cooler cold.